Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is no truth to the rumor that it was Antonio Brown who attempted to enter a neighbor's home through a doggy door, only to get tased, kicked in the face, and then told the cops that, in fact, he thought it was his own home, even though his home doesn't have a doggy door. That was not Antonio Brown. It doesn't sound like something he would do, does it? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are 2 hours from our weekend. I hope that you are getting close as well. If you're on the same schedule as us, well, there is a benefit to working overnight because you're done when everyone else is still working and you get to start your weekend on a Friday morning. I am so excited to sleep on Friday, but I'm also really excited to rake leaves. Okay, that's a lie. But I am excited to be home and get some stuff done around the house because this time last week I was in Houston visiting mom. And as much as I loved visiting mom, we made some great Christmas plans when she'll be here in the New York City area. It's really difficult to get any of your cleaning and raking leaves done or even your Saturday nap when you're not at home. So I'm glad for the weekend at home. It's going to be an awesome football weekend. Other than a yoga class and some grocery shopping, I don't anticipate leaving my property. Nope, football is dictating. Football and basketball. I have another basketball game this weekend as well. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The game that you're most looking forward to this weekend. We actually went unconventional, atraditional in our poll, but I'm not going to tell you how. You have to check it out yourself. So that's on Twitter and Facebook. And it's one of our most popular polls of the week. You all really enjoy weighing in. And I think there's even more anticipation now as we go into week 10 of the NFL, but also the final month of the college football season and just the endless possibilities. I say that, but it's not hyperbole. It's actually the truth. There are endless possibilities and ways that this can play out. We're waiting on a couple of quarterback updates and likely won't get them until either Saturday or Sunday. But Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, also Jacoby Brissett, the Indianapolis Colts. So the Colts host the Miami Dolphins. And right now, at least, Brian Hoyer is taking the first team snaps with the Colts offense. And, you know, he's a guy that's started for seven different NFL teams. So there's not a whole lot that he hasn't seen on offense. I thought it was cool to hear him describe what it's been like to kind of get a crash course in what the Colts do specifically.
It's kind of like learning languages, really, like Spanish and Italian are probably very similar. So if one offense is Spanish and one's Italian, there's, you know, some common ground, some you know, things that are a little similar, and then you just go from there.
You know why that appeals to me? Because I speak Spanish and my grandfather is Italian, was Italian. He's not with us anymore, but he used to write me letters in Italian and I couldn't read them word for word because I didn't know Italian, but because I knew Spanish, I could get the gist, which is kind of cool. They're both Romance languages. They have a lot in common. Portuguese, very similar to Spanish as well. And so what Brian Hoyer is saying is that, yeah, the terminology is a little different. You're going to have a different emphasis or a different accent here or there. But there's so many similarities that you can kind of muddle through. No, he's not saying you can fudge it. He's just saying it's easier to learn. If you know Spanish, it's easier to learn Italian. If
you know I don't speak Spanish.
Figure it out. If you have gone through and played for so many different offenses in the NFL, well, then it's not as difficult to pick up a new one quickly with the Colts. So we're waiting word on Jacoby Brissett, but for now, Brian Hoyer, who is just one team shy of the record set by Ryan Fitzpatrick, who will be starting for the Dolphins. How about that? Between Brian Hoyer and Ryan Fitzpatrick, And that there are some teams in common. I'm assuming. I actually haven't thought about it. Huh. I'd have to go back and look. But these two guys are near the top of the NFL record books. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the only quarterback in NFL history ever to start for 8 different teams. Do you know that's a quarter of the NFL? 8 of 32 is 25% of the NFL. And he's thrown a touchdown for each one. Brian Hoyer has started and thrown a touchdown for 7 different teams in the NFL. It means they have managed to stay relevant. They continue to get paid to play football. Right place, right time, good habits. Take care of themselves. And you could also say they're not elite quarterbacks. You could point to that fact. They're journeymen. They've not been able to stick anywhere. Heck, how many of us would sign up to continue to get paid and be ready? Yeah, seriously, my hand's in the air. If you can make a living as a backup QB in the NFL, life's pretty good. And if you can stick for a long period of time and continue to get the starts when a quarterback goes down in front of you, I mean, the fact that these guys are prepared and that they approach the job as professionals speaks so much, not to mention the longevity and the fact that they are still in the league. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So some of the games that are not in our poll, we've got the Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints. And it's good to see Drew Brees back on the field, though he played briefly against, well, I mean, he played the game against Arizona. But we only saw him briefly because then the Saints took a bye week. And so he had even more time to kind of heal and recover if he needed it from the torn thumb ligament. And now it's full speed ahead for the Saints. Yes, they're on top of the NFC South. But with Drew Brees back, they can start to focus and hone the issues and fix the problems and make sure that they're really prepared in the second half of the season.
Starting faster, getting early points, getting early momentum. Yeah, I do feel like, you know, if you just evaluated the first half of the season, you'd say, you know, it was slower than normal starts, and, you know, maybe then we picked it up, you know, and scored a bunch in the latter half of the game. But it's nice when you can have that consistently throughout a full game.
Okay, I'll just be honest. Yes, I wanted you to hear from Drew Brees, but I also wanted you to hear the ping pong game that was going on in the background. How often does that happen with us? We get audio here on the show, and the quarterbacks or the running backs, the defensive backs, whatever, you get guys in the locker room, and there's always a game of ping pong going on behind them. I mean, it makes me laugh. And it's so pronounced, too. It's almost like the ping pong ball is mic'd up. Like Sam. It's such a sore subject. So the Saints are 7-1, Panthers 5-3, and they are on the road at the Green Bay Packers. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, the Panthers got demolished by the Niners. Maybe some would have put Packers and Niners in the category, same category, in terms of how good they are being elite teams in the NFC until, of course, the Packers ran into a buzzsaw in the Chargers, who just lost to the Raiders. The NFL is so weird sometimes. What did Aaron Rodgers say? We were served a slice of humble pie. Maybe we got to reading our press a little bit and believing how good we are. A little puffed up too much. And this was a dose of reality. A little humility served to us middle of the season, when they only had 11 points and the touchdown that they had came not until the fourth quarter. They were essentially stymied the entire game by the Chargers. So Packers have taken a step back, though no harm done because the Vikings also lost last week. They're still on top of the NFC North. But I still say that if you look at the Panthers' perspective going into Lambeau Field, it's another measuring stick. They were routed by the Niners a couple weeks ago. What kind of progress have they made? Are they better equipped to face the Packers at Lambeau, or is it going to be another embarrassing loss? It'll tell us a lot more, even more, I should say, about the Panthers. And going back to that game against the Niners, what was the big deal? What was the glaring number that stood out? Well, the three interceptions by Kyle Allen. I'm not even looking at my notes and I remember it. It was his first three interceptions of the season. He can't do that at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers very rarely throws a pick at Lambeau. And so, like we saw with Phillip Rivers in Oakland on Thursday night, you want to throw picks, you want to turn the ball over? Well, your opponent, the home team, is more than happy to take those turnovers and turn them into points. Matt LaFleur getting rave reviews for what he's done so far with the Packers offensively, and yet there's obviously still work to do.
We've got a lot of capable people out there, and whichever way the game dictates us to go, we're able to go that way. So that's definitely nice to have.
They certainly can beat you a variety of ways. We've seen them with the ground and pound, which is different, right? Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. But getting Davante Adams back, of course they want to assimilate him back into the offense. And he can be such a weapon for Aaron Rodgers, who is a weapon in and of himself. So what's the game you're most looking forward to? We'll continue to drop in some audio as we preview week 10 in the NFL. If you missed my conversation with Brian Fisher of College Football Talk, we looked at LSU Alabama and the college football landscape in the wake of the first set of rankings, plus the Florida State coaching search, I guess you could call it that at this point. So make sure you check that out as part of our podcast after hours, amylawrence.com, if you missed it. A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Friday to you. If you're waking up really early, boy, do I feel bad for you. I'd rather be up all night than to wake up at this hour myself, but hey, we're here to keep you company. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Whatever I see, I trust my eyes, trust my reads, trust the guys running the routes, and, you know, kind of just let it go. I can't play scary or anything like that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The first time I heard that piece of audio from Kyler Murray, I thought he said, I can't play scary or anything like that. I'm sure it's scared and it just sounds like scary, but it made me think back to Halloween and also the ghost that clearly was inhabiting my piano. I opened up the top of my piano after the weird noises that I heard earlier in the week. I shone a flashlight in there all the way down to the bottom of the piano. Nothing. There's nothing in there. At least there isn't now. So I worked up the courage. I felt as though I was prepared for whatever I might see. And the ghost had disappeared from my piano. So Halloween week is over. Halloween month is over. No more noises coming from my piano. And Kyler Murray, he can't play scary out there, especially not when the Cardinals take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there across the country in Tampa in week number 10. And it's easy to see the progress that Kyler has made. He's got great poise. I mean, he played big-time college football, so that's preparation for the NFL. But it's certainly a lot of information and responsibility, everything thrown at you when you're a rookie quarterback. And he's definitely had some ups and downs. He's got to learn how to get rid of football. He obviously wants to cut down on the turnovers. But he and Cliff Kingsbury, they're growing up together, and you can see the progress.
The biggest thing I've taken that I've seen him make strides in is ball security, eliminating negative plays, and just overall, you know, how he carries himself in the building, the preparation, you know, the leadership qualities. I mean, it's a work in progress and will be, but he's stepped up in all those areas.
After winning three in a row, the Cardinals have dropped back-to-back games. still, though, they are a headache for any team that they play on their schedule. That includes the other teams in the NFC West, all of whom are above 500. So we haven't seen the Rams in a couple weeks, but they will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That game coming up at Pitt. Pitt, that sounds like I'm talking about the college version. That coming up at Heinz Field. And then, of course, we've got Niners and Seahawks in the Bay Area on Monday Night Football, the marquee game of the weekend, at least in my opinion. You can take our poll, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What are you most looking forward to as we head into the weekend full of great football matchups on both the college and the pro gridiron? 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Steve, who's in Jacksonville. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thanks, Amy. I'm looking forward to the Sunday night game, being a Cowboys fan. And I mean, it's a good matchup. You got the coaching tree with Garrett and Zimmer. You've got the two great running backs in Cook and Zeke, and Zeke's starting to get into a stride. And you've got, you know, great receivers. We, by the way, we just love Cooper, but I'm hoping that Dak is going to be the difference. As a Cowboy fan, to see him mature over the last 3 years, you know, that first year, everything just seemed to click. But as a quarterback, he's really getting to be really good. And we can look past his accuracy issues at times because the guy's just flat out a winner.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would agree with you that he is a winner. I think he's a fantastic quarterback. I know that there are lots of complaints, but very often the quarterback gets, in fact, I would say the majority of the time, the quarterback gets too much of the credit when things go well and gets blamed too much when things don't go well. The formula that the Cowboys need to use, want to use, is the one that we saw on, was it Monday night? Monday Night Football against the Giants. And I think it was it Sunday night? Shoot, my days all blend together. The last game in which they were able to run the ball. And Ezekiel Elliott is talking about how easy it was behind the offensive line. At times, it was like Dak Prescott could bake a fruitcake back there in the pocket. He had so much time. And so that's really the formula. It starts with that line. It starts in the trenches. Same thing on the defensive side. If that D-line can get the push and can try to get into the opposing backfield, really, it's all about them controlling the line of scrimmage, as it is for so many teams. But the Cowboys have the ability to do that. That makes the offense look so much different. Dak can deliver. Yeah, I mean, he's not as accurate as Drew Brees, but who is? And he's got multiple options now, but they've got to start with the run game, establish the run. They paid Ezekiel Elliott for that reason. They've got an offensive line with all pros. They need to use it and use it to their advantage.
Appreciate it.
All right, Steve, good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. John says on Twitter, Amy, I'm looking forward to Steelers-Rams. A Pittsburgh win lifts them to 5-4 in the wild card hunt. Vikings-Cowboys, very interesting for tiebreakers down the road. The Vikings lost last week, hurt. Yeah, I mean, that, yes, John, it did. It hurt the Vikings, but at the same time, it didn't hurt the Vikings because the Packers also lost. And so in a week in which every team in the NFC North lost, sure, the Vikings could have made up ground in that loss to the Chiefs. Remember, Harrison Butker had the 54-yard field goal with 2.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and then had the one as time expired that was 44 yards for them to win. And so the Vikings' offense took a step back. But really, it was the defense that I thought was the weaker link. Minnesota had the lead early in the third quarter. They took advantage of a Mecole Hardman fumble on a kickoff. And then we had four lead changes between the Chiefs and Vikings in that second half. But to give up a 91-yard touchdown run to Damian Williams, that's such a backbreaker. It hurts. The Vikings did answer. You know, they went down the field and they scored early in the fourth quarter, had the lead again, but just couldn't hold it. And the defense is generally, it's smash mouth, but at Arrowhead Stadium and even with Matt Moore, I like the groove the offense has been in over the last couple of weeks. Ty Hill, the incredible speed. Mecole Hardman is almost, they play different positions, but he's kind of replaced what the Chiefs were lacking with Kareem Hunt. Certainly, the way that they distribute the football and get a lot of different people involved. makes it difficult to defend. So, yeah, it was a, I mean, for the entire NFC North, it was a tough weekend. But I still think that that's a division that could see a lot of drama in the second half. 855-212-4227, or you can find me on Twitter. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? We've got our Football Friday poll up for you. And then on Facebook, we don't do a poll because that would be too easy. Instead, we just put the entire schedule up there. Chris does, I shouldn't say we. Chris puts the entire schedule up there, and then you all get to comment. Like John, who ranks them for us. Number one, Iowa, Wisconsin. Number two, LSU, Bama. Number three, Carolina, Green Bay. Mark says Bills and Browns. Yeah, the Bills, I like the fact that they're relatively low profile, flying under the radar in the AFC East, which has been the case over the last 15 years because of what the Patriots have done. They need to continue to get better. And it's not as simplistic as how Josh Allen goes, so go the Bills. But when he turns the ball over, it seems like it blows up dramatically in their faces. But the defense is also really solid for Buffalo. I just love what Sean McDermott is doing there. It's a slow burn. It's a marathon, not a sprint, for that rebuilding and changing the culture. And it was such a cool thing for them to get into the playoffs 2 years ago. But they didn't have a team that was going to be a contender for a Super Bowl, and they knew it. So this is now the next step in that process.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Thank you, John Murphy. Brian says on Facebook, definitely Alabama LSU. On Sunday, the game I'll watch, but I'm not really looking forward to, is the Lions and Bears. What do you mean? Oh, Mitch Trubisky. I just want him to light it up. I mean, the Lions defense could offer that option. The Lions defense is like the Falcons defense. It's porous. It's I don't like Swiss cheese, so I hate to use that analogy. It's the only cheese I don't like. I will eat any other cheese, but not Swiss cheese. I don't know why that is. Anyway, there is an opportunity for the Bears offense to find a groove and to have room to throw the ball against the Lions. So we'll see. But yes, Mitch Trubisky under a white hot spotlight in 2019. Let's see, Zach on Facebook. I'm looking forward to being at Lambeau. I'll wave to you on TV. Now, Zach, I don't know if you're still listening. My grandmother and other family members of mine, cousins, have been sending me pictures and snaps of the snow. The snow. I want it to be the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Wouldn't that be so much fun for me watching from home? That's on my bucket list. I went to Lambeau last year, but it was in August. I want to go when there's snow on the ground. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So before we take our break, I just want to quickly address those of you who are in Atlanta who listen on 92.9 The Game. We have no control over what happens with local programming. And I'm sorry, I wish I could tell you when they're going to air the final hour of our show and when they're not. But I really can't. No one's given us the schedule. We have no idea. I know earlier in this week you were getting the final hour of our show, but apparently, according to your tweets and Facebook posts, on Thursday morning, you did not. My best advice would be to call the radio station and to ask if they have a schedule or if they know, if they've made a decision about what they're going to do. But even as we head up toward the top of the hour here, which will be 5 o'clock Atlanta time, you have other options. You can always listen to us on Sirius XM 206. Our entire show is carried uninterrupted. And then there are a variety of apps that you can use to listen to our show as well, if in fact the local affiliate cuts off. I know there are plenty of places around the country. Well, in the Eastern time zone, because this final hour is considered part of morning drive. So our Boston affiliate cuts out early. Our Pittsburgh affiliate cuts out early. Detroit does the same thing, I think. And it's cool. It's fine. We understand you like your local sports talk as well. And so if you download or use the radio.com app, it's free. It's super easy. Even my mom has figured out how to use it, or SiriusXM 206. And again, we don't have any control over what they do in Atlanta or anywhere else. So your best bet might be to call the station if you want to know what's going on. Or tell them you want more After Hours because your opinion matters. But thank you for your support. I sound like a weirdo. Thank you for your support, though. We're glad that you love the show, and we're glad that you get upset when you don't have access to the show. That makes us feel like our hard work is worth it. All right, coming up next, an historic moment in the NHL. Yes, I said the NHL on Thursday night, and also a pretty cool welcome home for one NBA player. Plus, we'll take more of your football calls.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Marner starting back with Tavares against Carlson. Marner closing in to Tavares. Scores! Holy mackerel! Some magic from the magician! And Tavares finishes!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Joe Bowen in overtime, 2.5 minutes into overtime, to be exact. And John Tavares gives the Maple Leafs a victory over the Vegas Golden Knights in Toronto. But just as importantly as that singular win is the big picture for Maple Leafs coach Mike Babcock. How about this? He became the 8th coach in NHL history to achieve 700 career wins. That's amazing. Congratulations to coach. And I know we have a big listening audience in Toronto. I'm sure that this was hockey night in Canada. Aren't they all hockey nights in Canada now that hockey is back in season? But only 8 coaches in the entire history of the game have ever achieved this plateau. And we tried to find some type of post-game reaction from coach or from his players. Nope. Which kind of speaks to what hockey is all about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know that you can call it a milestone, but it certainly was a homecoming for one Kemba Walker in Charlotte last night.
Tatum kick out Kemba, open three, got it.
Ain't gonna miss all of them.
First three of the night for Kemba Walker. Extends the Boston lead to 18, their largest of the night. Cody Martin out to guard Hayward. He's going to swing it right side to Kemba. Nasty step back on Washington and drills another three. Then it barely moves. Kemba has arrived at the party. He's knocked down back-to-back threes. Celtics lead by 16, 72-56. Special night for Kemba Walker. He returns home to Charlotte, and the Celtics will leave Charlotte with the best record in the NBA. They improved to 6-1. They have won 6 straight.
That's Sean Grandy along with Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network. This was all about Kemba Walker returning home, and he was very emotional, actually kind of teary. Here is a great example of a situation when you do need a tribute video, as Kemba spent his entire career with Charlotte until he signed with the Celtics in the offseason, but he played 29 minutes, didn't shoot well. In fact, he's had some spotty nights offensively to start. Long way to go still, but 14 points, 6 assists for him. And as I say, they really treated him well. The fans were thrilled to see him, though probably hard to see him leave yet again with his new team.
I'm good, man. It was an amazing night, amazing day. You know, a lot of love from the fans, the organization. Just really good to be back.
Kemba Walker with a wide smile when he saw the tribute video, but also tears running down his cheeks. Really special. Good for the Charlotte Hornets for not feeling like a team or an organization scorned, but instead welcoming back the 3-time All-Star who actually once had a 60-point performance on that same court. It's hard sometimes as fans to watch our favorite players go and star somewhere else or chase the hardware, even get a ring or a championship somewhere else. And I think it's even harder when they go to rivals. Now, that's not the case with Charlotte and Boston. But Brett Favre comes to mind when he wore the purple of Minnesota and Green Bay fans, many of them were so incensed. Or going back to Red Sox Yankees in the early 2000s when Johnny Damon shaved his head and his beard to go play in pinstripes. And when it's a team that you love to hate, it can be painful. And yet that's the business. It's the business that kind of slaps us in the face. And so I appreciate when franchises and fans handle it with class and with grace. there are times when it's not that way. You know, Kevin Durant not welcomed back with open arms after he left Oklahoma City. But Kemba Walker meant so much to Charlotte for the 8 seasons that he was there. And certainly it's the prerogative of Michael Jordan not to give him a Supermax contract. But he didn't leave on bad terms. And so the fans gave him a standing ovation. They were so happy to see him back. And that, to me, speaks volumes about the franchise as well, even though they weren't willing to spend the money to keep him around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Just to kind of tack on to a story that we talked about a lot on our last show, this made me giggle. Because you know, I sat here in this chair and I said to you, I don't get it. The NBA is telling us that Kawhi Leonard is not healthy under the league's resting policy. But then we hear Doc Rivers tell us, yeah, Kawhi Leonard's great. He feels good. He'll actually tell you he feels better than he has in a long time because we're resting him. So the two things didn't really jive, and the NBA heard it and noticed. They actually fined the Clippers $50,000, and I will read you the term that's used. The comments made by Coach Doc Rivers were inconsistent with Kawhi Leonard's health. So what is this? Is this the NBA trying to cover up for the resting, for the load management of Kawhi Leonard by saying that he's not healthy? I mean, I said to you last night, I don't know who's telling the truth, but it's just odd that they don't have their story straight. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And so, yeah, $50,000 fine. Do you ever wonder what happens to that money? Or is it just me? So Doc Rivers, of course, was asked about it pregame. They're in Portland, right, on Thursday night. He was asked about it pregame, and I wouldn't say he's getting testy, but $50,000 fine?
Well, I think we said it all. I'm not getting into it, so no. Is the answer. I think what we said, and whatever the release was, which I haven't seen, is the release.
You disappointed to be fined that the organization was fined?
I love getting fined. Next is like if you win a game, are you happy to win a game? Yeah, you're always disappointed. Sometimes you agree with fines, sometimes you don't. It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's the one thing I've learned.
He's like, I love getting fined. I'm a big fan of Doc Rivers from his playing days and his coaching days as well. So, yes, he's disappointed.
I love getting fine.
Okay, snarky. Anyway, the whole thing's just goofy. Get your story straight, will you please? By the way, they weren't in Portland. They were at Staples Center, so forgive me for that. But did you also hear the snark from Terry Stotts? I don't know if you guys saw this earlier. It was on Twitter. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about it. Kawhi had 18 of his 27 points in the fourth quarter as the Clippers edged the Trailblazers. And someone asked Terry Stotts about Kawhi, and he said, he looked well-rested. Oh, my gosh. It's almost like the black cat from Monday Night Football. 855-212-4227. It gets you inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Let's talk to Monty, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate the call. I had a couple of questions. One was, you just kind of referenced the Monday Night Football game. Mm-hmm. Did you not... am I the only one that felt like some of those penalties that Dallas was getting, when they were fighting and was going on, shouldn't that have gone both ways? Shouldn't that have been offsetting? Hernandez, the set number 71, mm-hmm. seems like he was the instigator at every one of those situations.
Is that your professional opinion?
I'm a professional instigator, yes. but it just seemed like he was. From what we got to see, I mean, he was there in every one of those situations. That's one point. Second point is, I feel like Dallas has turned the corner. And I know that I'm a Dallas fan. I've been all my life. But what I base that on is that the play that Dak is, every one of he's scoring in the top five, almost in every category for quarterbacks. He's a top five quarterback. our defensive line. The additional, you know, Bennett coming on is just going to add so much more that we can do on our defensive line that we were lacking. And now I really feel like this is going to be a good step forward. I'm hoping and praying that we come away with a victory Sunday night.
Yeah, I would say that the Cowboys have built up some nice momentum, but what do we know about momentum in sports? It's very fleeting. This is going to be a fight between the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Cowboys, even as you talk about them turning a corner, you could say the same thing about the Eagles, right? And so I would agree with you about Dak Prescott. I'm a fan. I think Jerry Jones is a fan. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but that's not what he needs to be because they have such a great run game and a really strong offensive line. The defense has also been good, especially in the trenches. And so that to me is so important. As I mentioned to our previous caller, control the line of scrimmage. The Cowboys have the ability to do that every single game. If you control the line of scrimmage, you are already ahead of the game. And that's going to be important with the Vikings because that's also their game plan. And they also have the ability to do it. So watch what happens on the lines, both offensive and defensive lines, that may tell the story on Sunday Night Football.
You're definitely, yeah, that's exactly right. It's going to be a good game. So,
All right,
thanks again. Appreciate you very much. Bye bye.
Thanks, Monty. Good to talk to you in Dallas. 855-212-4227. I don't want to take another call here because we'd have to cut you off quickly before the top of the hour. But I always love your tweets, A Law Radio. In fact, Steven says this: I don't know that you could give me a bigger compliment. Steven says, I love this show. I can't turn it off, but I need sleep. Roll Tide. Wait, where did we hear that? Where did we hear that earlier on the show, the Roll Tide call?
The Chargers show a 9-man front against this set. The hand, big hole, first down, end zone, touchdown, Jacobs, touchdown, Raiders. Would you believe it? Off the bench. The offensive line blows the hole open against that 9-man box, and Jacobs takes it home. Roll Tide, baby!
Brent Musburger is getting into it. He's looking forward to LSU-Bama. No doubt Josh Jacobs, the rookie from Alabama, who's now the star running back for the Raiders, no doubt he's thrilled. And anybody who plays on Thursday Night Football who has ties to Bama and LSU, they're thrilled that they don't have to be game planning and walking through or traveling on Saturday. Instead, they've got the weekend to be able to enjoy LSU-Bama and talk a little smack. It's kind of fun when you get these guys into the pro ranks and they can then talk smack and I'm sure play some very friendly wagers. We have 1 hour to go. We're going to give you more of the story from Thursday Night Football in the AFC West. And what's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? It's a lot to choose from. It's a Football Friday here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.